Now we will discuss some Jets with our own Brian Costello, also of the New York Post, of course. Mr. Brian, how are you, sir?
Hello. Can you hear me?
What's up, Cos? Can you hear
how
me?
Are you? Yeah.
Man, I just gave you the great introduction, and I get hello. Can you hear me?
I didn't even get to hear the introduction.
He was very complimentary of your work here on the Fan and the Post, and really everything you break it the way you break it down.
And I'm actually glad you're not on just with Evan today, so this is good.
Right.
So what's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Just, you know, trading quarterbacks, possibly looking at a great pass rusher, rookie quarterback. It's been a quiet summer for the Jets.
What'd you think of the third for Teddy, with the Jets also sending their sixth to the Saints?
I thought it was a good trade. To me, that was the mark they had to get. They had to get a third-round pick back for him. You know, the sixth-round pick is a throw-in. I don't really view that as important. But I thought if they couldn't get a third-round pick for him, they should hold on to him into the season and then wait and see if somebody has an injury at quarterback and maybe you get a third-round pick or a second-round pick. But, you know, if they can get it now, take it now. Because the other scenario, you're kind of counting on a starting quarterback to go down from a team that thinks they can contend. There was a lot of variables there, so I thought it was a pretty good deal for Maccagnan.
Pretty funny, or interesting, I guess. All morning, the calls we've taken, Jet fans really thought the Jets made the deal too soon. That having been said, what were your takeaways from Bridgewater the time he was here?
Well, I mean, he was loved by his teammates and in the building. He was universally respected. I thought he handled the situation really well. You know, it's not an easy situation where for him or Josh McCown, where you kind of see the kid coming. You know, Sam Darnold, this is going to be his job. Your future's not here. And in recent weeks, Teddy's been asked constantly about the trade. And, you know, does he pay attention to the trade rumors and that kind of stuff? And I thought he handled himself really well, was a really popular guy in the building. So, and overall for the Jets, I think it was a smart move. You know, they took a flyer on him. You know, remember, you know, in March, they didn't know if he could play. There was talk of, can he even practice? Mike Zimmer came out of the owners' meetings and said stuff about what their doctors told them in Minnesota. So we weren't even sure if he would be able to practice in the spring. And he came out and played well in the preseason. And they were able to turn that into a third-round pick. So I think that was a really smart move by Maccagnan.
Cos, I'm curious your take on this. I tweeted it last night. Obviously, as always, you don't have to agree with me. But I just thought it was interesting. They traded away Teddy, get the third-round pick. And there are preseasons gone by, maybe for the past decade, that Teddy Bridgewater's spring and summer would have represented his being the Jets' savior. And instead, that quarterback room, led by the rookie, of course, is so healthy and promising that he became expendable. That, to me, is a bit remarkable, that turnaround by the New York Jets.
It is. You know, and healthy is the word I keep using. You just use that. I keep using that word because I haven't been around a quarterback situation like this since I've covered the Jets. You know, there are times when they look like they've had a starter, but they've never had three guys that you think could possibly start. And so it's been remarkable, and now they look like they have their quarterback of the future. You know, and if you believe Tony Romo, he's going to be the greatest quarterback in the NFL in a few years. So it's bizarro world with the Jets right now. Usually you're dissecting what's wrong with the quarterback situation, and right now we're dissecting what's right with it.
Yeah, nice. It's really a nice problem to have. And how about McCown and how he's been through all this?
He's been great, you know, and what we've kind of learned during this year plus that Josh McCown has been with the Jets is just kind of what a class act he is. You hear it from all the other teams he's been on, you know, talking to people that covered him in other cities when he was coming in. People said he was an all-world guy. So what someone said to me, and he has been. He's a great teammate, and he's really handled this whole thing with class because, you know, I think he still wants to play. They all want to play, and he's had to sit and watch, but he understands that Sam's the future of the team, and he seems very invested in Sam. Mm-hmm. You know, we throw that mentor stuff around a lot, and I think sometimes it's BS, but in this case, I think it's true. I think Josh is invested in Sam and is trying to help him along, and you kind of see it when you watch those preseason games and how excited Josh is on the sideline when Sam does well.
It's a question I feel like I have to ask, Cos. The Jets don't love us speculating/reporting that Sam will start the opener. I can promise you that from yesterday. but are we at 100% he starts that Monday night against the Lions in Detroit?
I'll go 99.999 until Todd Bowles says it.
Okay.
Right?
So you're saying like, there's a chance he's not going to start.
You know, I mean, there's always just a tiny, tiny chance. But, I mean, Josh McCown hasn't been on the field in weeks. Now,
which is amazing.
Does he play tonight? I think he might. I would put him out there just to kind of let him get some series under his belt. And also, there's guys trying to make this team at wide receiver and at tight end and on the offensive line. And Josh gives them a little chance to look better. Then, no offense to John Walford, but he's been here for 2 minutes. So, you know, I think it would help those guys if they had an NFL quarterback throwing to them and working with them. So, but it's been, you know, I think since that first preseason game, it's been hard to see a scenario where Sam wasn't starting. You know, I thought after that game, to me, I was like, all right, he's probably going to be the starter. And then after Washington, I was like, okay, he's definitely going to be the starter. And now that Teddy's gone and reinforces that, but, you know, until Todd Bowles says it, I guess there's a slight slimmer, you know, glimmer of chance that it's not.
Brian Costello with us, the fan, of course, New York Post. You ever get bored in these Todd Bowles press conferences?
They don't last very long.
No,
they're quick.
Well, yeah. Because he doesn't say anything. And even, Brian, I caught you last week. You were trying to get him to say something about the quarterback position, and he just, like, glares at you and smiles. God bless you.
Yeah, he doesn't respond too much to those questions.
Yeah, he is buttoned up. You mentioned the wide receiver position. Talk to me about Quincy Enunwa. What can we expect from him?
He looked good. You know, he had the thumb injury that kept him out a few weeks of training camp. But since he's been back, you know, I thought he looked good the other night against the Giants. And he shows no signs of the neck injury from last year, even early in camp. But he's playing well. So I would expect Quincy to have a big impact on the season. They have an interesting group at wide receiver. There's no Odell Beckham on this team, but there's a bunch of pretty good receivers. And, you know, Jermaine Kearse, Quincy, Robbie Anderson, Terrell Pryor, it's an interesting group. And I'm fascinated to see how that plays out this season with them. But I think Enunwa, the Jets are expecting big things from and expect him to kind of pick up where he left off in 2016.
I understand that the draft to some degree is a crapshoot, but is there a chance when this roster is settled that Ardarius Stewart suspended to start the season, so he doesn't need to be dealt with this week in terms of roster, right?
Yep.
So
yeah, they can wait.
So he and Chad Hansen, mysteries to me when they were drafted, drafted by Mike Maccagnan, could they both be cut? Could they both be off the roster this quickly, which would be a bit alarming?
Yeah, I mean, this is the argument of, does your draft status help you in these decisions, or is it really based on performance? Because if you've watched training camp, a guy like Trey McBride and even Charles Johnson, to some degree, have played better than those two guys, Stewart and Hansen. But they're draft picks. They were drafted last year, too. It's not like they were drafted 3 years ago. Maccagnan has been very reluctant to cut his draft picks. He's cut one draft pick on cutdown weekend during his time here. Jarvis Harris and the lineman he took early in his tenure, he cut him the next year. Then he cut a few picks this past spring with Bryce Petty going and Devin Smith and trading Christian Hackenberg. But overall, Mike has held on to his draft picks. So this is going to be an interesting one here to see if he's willing to part with them. You know, I personally think Trey McBride has outperformed those guys. I would give him the nod, but we'll see what Maccagnan does.
A couple more for Brian Costello on the Jets. Defensively, we haven't touched on that. It's obviously been a lot about the offense and Sam Darnold and Teddy Bridgewater. How are they getting to the quarterback? Are they not? I mean, are we going to sit back and just, you know, try and wait out the offense with these long sustained drives? And what are we doing here?
I think Todd Bowles is going to have to get creative, you know, and find ways to get to the quarterback. I do think they have some guys on defense that they can use as blitzers to get there, like Darren Lee or Jamal Adams even. I would try to do that. They don't have the traditional pass rusher, which is why everyone's speculating if Khalil Mack is going to get traded, the Jets are going to trade for him because they desperately need a guy like Khalil Mack. They need a pass rusher on that outside edge. That's the biggest hole in the team. But if they, you know, barring an unlikely trade, and I still would put Mack in that unlikely trade category, Todd's going to have to show his wear as a defensive coordinator and just kind of come up with blitzes and figure out ways. And I think Tremaine Johnson being there helps that. When you have a shutdown cornerback that they hope Tremaine Johnson is, that can kind of help you get creative with the blitzes, but it's going to really be on Todd Bowles.
Kaz, you and I have talked about this. We talk about everything Jets, it seems. So we certainly have touched on this topic. Why not address the pass rush? That's the one thing I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't wrap my head around the idea that you just don't address it. And they had money. They still have money. They had money. I know they'll have a boatload next season. I know this is a longer than one season proposition. They want to sustain success. They want Sam to develop this year. You and I understand all of that stuff, and I'm not speaking for you. But
yep.
Is there a reason to not address the pass rush?
It's not easy. That's the reason. And I think, you know, to get a really good pass rusher, you have to take him in the top 10 of the draft. You know, if you go back to free agency, Ezekiel Ansah and DeMarcus Lawrence were guys that looked like they might hit the market, then they get franchise tagged. Right. You know, if teams don't give up on pass rushers, it's sort of like a quarterback. To me, it's the second position behind quarterback. It's hard to find unless you're drafting in the top 10, and obviously the Jets were not taking a pass rusher this year. I think next year we'll be talking about this before the draft, unless they do some kind of trade here. I think that this is going to be what they address next year, is pass rushing. You know, to me, it's not so much about this year not addressing the pass rusher. It's about the past, like, 8 years not addressing the pass rusher, because this has been an issue for a long time.
Right.
You know, John Abraham, you know, your younger listeners don't even probably know who John Abraham is. And he's the last guy they had. They drafted Vernon Golston. Obviously, that didn't work.
No.
But everything else that they've done, you know, no other big moves to address
Sheldon's
the pass rush.
Sheldon's gone. Muhammad's gone. Leonard, you know, I don't know where you put Leonard. Great.
Those guys are interior linemen anyway. Like, I know Mo had a big year with a lot of sacks, you know, in 2015. But you really want, in a 3-4 defense, you want, you know, Lawrence Taylor. You want that outside linebacker coming off the edge. You know,
that'd be fine. Yeah, that'd be okay.
And they haven't had anyone, you know, they haven't had an outside linebacker has not led the Jets in sacks since 2011. And that guy was Aaron Maben.
It's amazing.
Was it really?
So, yeah. the team leader in sacks has not been an outside linebacker since then. Last year, DeMario Davis led this team in sacks, an inside linebacker. So this has been a problem for a long time. And, you know, if you want to criticize Mike Maccagnan on this issue, where I look is 2015. Now, Leonard Williams is a very good player, but they could have taken Vic Beasley there, right? And I think the consensus at the time was Leonard was a better pick than Vic Beasley, but Vic Beasley would have addressed the need. You know, it's the old best player available versus need argument. You know, Beasley's had a lot of sacks for the Falcons a few years ago. He had double-digit sacks for them. You could argue that maybe they would have been better off taking Beasley there.
There's also not a rule that Leonard can't get to the quarterback.
Yeah, and
I mean, there's not a rule preventing it.
Yeah, but we'll see this year. You know, they've talked about, oh, he was close last year. He had all these hits. We'll see if he can get there a second quicker, and maybe an improved secondary helps that. Maybe the quarterback has to hold the ball a little bit longer this year, and Leonard can get there. I just don't know. If I'm an offensive coordinator and I'm looking at the Jets' defense, Leonard Williams is still getting double teamed constantly.
Maybe they can blitz Jamal Adams all the time. How's that sound?
That's what I think. I really do think, you know, I know you're kind of kidding.
I'm not kidding. I'm actually not kidding at all.
I think Adams will be coming a lot, and I think I watched Darren Lee, too. I could see them using him. I thought they would do this when he came out of college, and they never really did. I could see them putting him on the edge. He's fast, coming off the edge there a little bit. So I think Todd's going to have to get creative here.
All right, last one for me, and it's pretty generic, but we talked to Art Stapleton about the Giants and, you know, how tough their schedule is to start. You look at what the Jets have, as CBS Sports Network had it on the board just a moment ago. They have an opportunity to really get off to a decent start. Just what do you think they will be at the outset here when they start in Detroit?
I mean, it's tough because they don't play the toughest teams in the league, but the way the schedule falls is kind of tough. 3 games in 11 days, 2 games on the road, and, you know, we're assuming Sam Darnold, like we said before, you got a rookie quarterback. You know, I think it could be a little bit of a rough start because I just don't see.
You know, it's funny, not to interrupt you. I actually looked at it in terms of Darnold as that being a better thing. You almost don't have time to think, and you're just kind of playing to get started.
I don't know, Jerry. I think you'd like to have more time with your rookie to go over stuff and try to work through things, you know, and make adjustments. I mean, between the Miami-Cleveland game, It really, there's yeah. they're not going to be able to make any adjustments there.
No, so. That's a wonderful quick turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, I do think Darnold has shown he's not fazed by much.
Right.
He hasn't been fazed by anything that I've seen yet, so he should handle this a little bit better than other rookie quarterbacks, but I think it could be a slow start. I mean, I'd say probably 1-2 out of that three-game stretch. I give them one, but you got to remember, too, in Cleveland, that game is like circled on the calendar.
I'm
like,
sure.
This is the game we can win.
Yeah. They might have a parade on Friday.
Right, and honestly, they should have won last year, but Deshaun Kaiser turned the ball over twice in the red zone,
right.
and the Jets got out of it with a win. And they should have won 2 years ago,
right.
but they collapsed in the second half. So right. I think the Browns, I think that game is going to be like, okay, this is our Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We can beat the Jets.
Yeah. They'll put a mural of Hugh to replace the LeBron mural if they win that Thursday night game. Cause another thing, and I know you've thought of this, those first three games, the first is against a Matt Patricia defense,
yeah.
and the third is against a Greg Williams defense. Different defenses. Greg Williams will look to, you know, flatten you. I mean, we know that. But
yeah.
that is a challenge for any quarterback. What's that?
He's been a charmer on Hard Knocks.
I haven't seen it. That is some dynamic.
Oh, the dynamic among the coaches
is crazy, right?
It is brutal.
Well, didn't Hugh tell Todd Haley to just zip it, basically?
Pretty much, yes. I mean,
and then I think he told Greg Williams that this week after Williams criticized Denzel Ward
for the tackle. Yeah.
The way he was tackling.
It's like you've got three, four guys that can't stand each other and yet have to work with one another.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but that is tough. They do have tough defense coordinators that. You know, I'm not sure where Patricia is at in this program, you know, in the first year, but I'm sure they're going to throw some things at Sam that he has never seen before. And obviously the preseason, you only see so much in the preseason.
Right.
They're going to be dialing it up. And I actually thought the Redskins in that preseason game threw a lot at Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of did early on. It didn't go smoothly in that game. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he handles everything. And the other part of that equation is how his offensive line protects him in those games.
Yeah, very good point. You know, because first game against the Falcons, I was talking to some Falcons people. They did blitz him in that game. I'm not suggesting they were exotic.
Right.
I'm not suggesting they game planned, but they did blitz him in that game. They were impressed with the way he adjusted and the throws that he chose to make in those situations. So, you know, generic blitzing probably. But he did face a little bit more in a first game even than some quarterbacks see. So I listen, the arrow is pointing up. I mean, there's no doubt about that with Darnold. And I just think that will, in my mind, be the overriding factor this entire season, no matter what happens.
Oh, yeah. See, it's the story of the year, you know, and people want to talk about what happens with Todd Bowles and that kind of thing. It all depends on Sam Darnold.
Yep.
You know, I don't think there's a number of games that they have to win for Todd to keep his job. I think it's about how do you feel in December about where this team is going and where Sam Darnold is going, how his development is going. You know, you've seen it in other cities where coaches had these high-pick quarterbacks come in and they lost their jobs, like Jeff Fisher or John Fox in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about the quarterback now. And really, for the next couple of years, I think it's going to be all about Sam Darnold's development and what they can put around him.
Yep.
Brian, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Kazi, you might see Hackenberg tonight, I think.
I think we might. It'll be exciting. The Hacken Bowl.
That's amazing.
Yeah, enjoy that.
It is amazing. I hope he plays well. All right, Kazi, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Preseason game number four.
As we come full circle.
Yeah, you're right.
With
it's crazy,
Darnold
right?
and everything else. And then, you know, Hackenberg might get some time. Actually, Doug Peterson said he will play tonight. Listen, you're not going to play Foles. You're obviously not going to play Wentz.
Can't wait to not watch.